Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on DTNS, talking to your smart speaker by laser. Plus, computer parts are getting cheap. Are they cheap enough? And Patrick Norton's Tales of Life with Only Mobile Internet. A little late for Halloween, but it's still scary. This is the Daily Tech News Show. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, the 5th of November, 2019, that we remember. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
As just mentioned, host of AVXL and This Week in Computer Hardware, Patrick Norton with us today. Good to have you back, man.
Greetings from the Silver Twinkie. And don't mind that husky. It's not congenital.
So
no, it's not contagious.
It's not congenital either, though, I assume. Patrick, of course, referring to his dog and your abode. You're coming to us with the Silver Twinkie is where you live now.
Silver Twinkie, we are packed up. We are in the Airstream. We are mobile and heading north shortly. Although we may have to head to Reno to pick up the winter clothing because it's getting colder as we head north.
Yeah, no, good point.
Sarah will attest.
We have got a show for you. We were just talking about V for Vendetta and Red Dwarf and all kinds of good stuff on Good Day Internet. If you want that wider show and our wider conversations about things, become a member at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Uber reported its Q3 earnings that beat analyst expectations on revenue at $3.81 billion and a loss per share of 68 cents versus 81 cents, which was expected. Uber reported a net loss of $1.16 billion for the quarter, which included $401 million in stock-based compensation. During the same quarter last year, Uber lost $986 million, so the losses are going up, but CEO Dara Khosrowshahi, he says that the company expects to reach profitability in 2021.
Federal Trade Commission announced Tuesday that AT&T will pay $60 million to settle a case alleging the company lied to customers about unlimited data plans, which throttled data over a certain threshold. AT&T now must deposit $60 million into a fund, providing partial refunds to customers who signed up for unlimited data plans before 2011. AT&T also must disclose any restrictions its unlimited plans have going forward.
Yes, that would be nice if it did that. When new users sign up for Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, they'll now see a box promoting signups for the Starz streaming service. The deal was made by Disney in order to get back streaming rights for some movies that had been licensed to Starz.
Like Starz Wars, for instance. Google incubator Area 120 launched an app called Pigeon last year in New York City that crowdsources transit information. So kind of like Waze, but letting you know if there's a delay in your bus or your train, that kind of thing. Pigeon's now launching in Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and home of the world champion nationals, Washington, D.C. Pigeon is available for iOS with an Android version on the way.
Malaysia will allow motorcycle hailing firms like Gojek to start limited operations beginning in January. Gojek says it will work with Malaysian regulators to determine how best to enter the market. A six-month pilot project will be limited to the Klang Valley, Malaysia's, where the capital Kuala Lumpur is located. Gojek will compete with local company Dago Ride and car hailing service Grab.
And Google, ETH Zurich, GND Mobile Security, Nuvoton Technology, and Western Digital have partnered to create Open Titan, an open source secure chip design project. Open source hardware. The idea is to build some secure chips for things like data centers, storage, computer peripherals that can be easily inspected for backdoors and be therefore very secure. Open Titan will build off Google's own Titan chip design. They use that in their Android phones as well as in the multi-factor security keys. Open Titan will be run by a nonprofit called the Low Risk Community. That's R-I-S-C, Low Risk Community. All right, let's talk a little about Google's new loyalty program.
Yeah, Google's launching something called Google Play Points in the U.S. So you can earn points for things that you do within Google Play, like downloading apps or subscribing to services, buying movies, books, TV shows, the like. Points can be redeemed for other things that you would otherwise do in Google Play, like in-app purchases for Pokemon Go, renting a movie, buying an audiobook. Google Play Points, first launched in Japan in September of 2018, came to South Korea in April of this year, and the U.S. program has four levels of its own, bronze through platinum. And points are worth more the higher level that you reach, obviously. Points can be used on a few dozen apps as well as some charitable causes. Google funds the points so developers don't lose any money by participating.
Yeah, so if like you get up to that platinum level, I don't know exactly, but it's something like each point is no longer worth a dollar, it's worth $1.40, some, you know, stuff like that. Great way to keep people in the system. It's going to make people open Google Play more often, which will make them probably spend more money in Google Play. And it will keep people a little more loyal to Android. If they build up a lot of points, they won't want to switch to another platform.
I'm not totally sure how successful this will be, but it is very genius to gamify the method of buying apps and just sort of being in Google Play in general. And, you know, just like, I don't know, it's why I always fly United, because I have miles on United. Right. Is it the best airline? Well, yeah, it's arguably not.
No.
But you know, you get into a system and you end up, you do build loyalty with customers by doing stuff like this.
Patrick,
I am trying to decide if I am horrified, disgusted, or just irritated. I find the gaming of buying stuff to be kind of loathsome. I also had to buy a game for my boys, and I had to explain to them that they may get killed every time they open up the game, because about a year ago, the game developers decided to make a whole lot of money selling staggering amounts of accessories or upgrades to tiny percentage.
If they build up points, they won't have to spend your money to get those things.
Yeah. I don't know. It's always nice to get something back because you're going to spend the money on these apps anyway. I always get a little uptight about the gamification of spending.
I'm starting to get loyalty program weariness. You know, everybody's got one. Uber's got one. I can't keep track because they only work if they end up having their customers spend more money. Right. So you always have to look for the loopholes that are going to trick you into spending more money than you would otherwise, which is exhausting.
Well, it's also, I mean, a lot of them mostly exist because they want to capture your information and track your information. I had to, in order to set something up recently, I had to get you need an ID from this website, which is the brand on the thing. So I had to like create an ID, which was basically gathering a bunch of information for marketing purposes. And then it kicked me back to the original application to log in with my new ID. And I just may be weary of just all of the privacy tracking and I don't know. I have complicated feels that will not fit in the context of this very short news show.
Researchers from Tokyo's University of Electrocommunications and the University of Michigan have demonstrated how lasers could activate voice assistants. Microphones in mobile devices and smart speakers use MEMS, microelectromechanical systems, to detect vibration in the air. They're very sensitive at that. That's why those microphones can be so small and so good. They convert the vibrations of a diaphragm in the microphone into electrical signals. It's just how microphones work. But the diaphragm used in MEMS to detect sound happens to also react to variations in laser light. They're that sensitive. So a nice focused laser beam, a stream of photons, can push that diaphragm a little. And therefore, a laser pointed at a MEMS microphone and modulated properly will be read as voice by the mic, but you won't be able to hear it. unless you can hear a laser light. And your ear is in the way because it's also line of sight. To pull this off, an attacker would need a laser source like a laser pointer. That's cheap enough. But you also need a laser driver and an audio amplifier. And the laser driver is intended for lab use. So you're going to need someone with some experience with laser equipment to assemble this properly. Not everybody's going to be able to do it just by going down to their hardware store. Researchers tested Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook devices, found that almost all the smart speakers registered the commands from at least 164 feet away. They tested up through 300 feet. And then they just didn't test any farther than that. iPhones were only vulnerable from a range of around 33 feet, and Android phones were only able to be controlled within 16 feet for some reason. But you do have to have clear line of sight. They were able to make it work through a window with a telephoto lens that refocused the beam. But you do have to target that very small microphone exactly accurate as well.
Well, we know that if somebody wants to hack a voice assistant, a voice-enabled device, and they have the wherewithal to figure something like this out, someone will do it. So this is definitely a security risk, and it's something that people should understand is possible. It does sound complicated, yes, but I guess my initial question is, okay, well, if that's the case, pretty genius hack, really. Then what? How do the microphones in these devices have to change so this doesn't happen?
I don't know that is necessarily the solution, right? Like, I don't know. It may just be like these are fundamentally insecure and don't use them for things that are important, like your door locks.
Yeah.
Or just turn them so the microphones aren't facing any open window.
Yeah, it would be, it would be hard to get a laser pointed at him. I mean, if you're around, you'll see the laser if you're paying attention, but you might not be paying attention.
Sure.
The bigger risk is probably when you're not there and someone wants to break in. I think there's also a positive here. You know, at night when you want to be super quiet, you don't even want to whisper. Just point your laser at the thing. I guess you could just use a remote control at that point.
How does the laser know what you wanted to say?
Yeah. Well, you have to build it yourself.
Program the laser ahead of time.
No, you have to build one of these with the driver and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's not really convenient. No.
No.
No, you're right. How to mitigate this is an interesting conundrum, and probably just moving the mic away from line of sight is one of your best defenses. Send us your favorite defense. feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Facebook has announced a corporate rebranding with an all-caps version of the word Facebook in gray, or whatever color fits some of its sub-brands, like Instagram or WhatsApp. For example, if you're in WhatsApp, it'll be green. Instagram will be kind of that rainbow Instagram band of colors. Those brands will have a new logo in the form of From Facebook, Facebook all in caps at the bottom of pages. The idea is to distinguish the Facebook company from the Facebook social networks. Two different things, guys. To be clear, the social network not changing its logo. It's still that lowercase blue Facebook.
Okay,
logo.
So the social network where I go and get very angry at my relatives is called Facebook.
That's right.
The parent company is called Facebook. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And that should make it very good. I mean, it's funny. I told the guys before the show that I asked a designer friend of mine who does a lot of corporate identity brand logo stuff. I said, "Is this what's your take?" Right? Because I'm not much of an artist, and he was like, "This is stupid." And that's it. That's all he had to say. He was just like
technical design language there.
It doesn't look stupid. He said, "No, it doesn't look stupid. It's just, this is just going to further confuse people. I mean, you don't want to have different versions of the Facebook logo all over the place because people don't understand the difference between Facebook, the company, and Facebook, the social network. I mean, we do, our listeners do, but in general, it does sort of dilute the logo in general."
Facebook made a decision that they didn't want to change the name of the parent company like Alphabet did. And so when they did that, they then decided, well, but we also want to remind people that Instagram and WhatsApp are part of us because we think that'll help keep folks from wanting to break us up if they think of us less as a conglomerate that owns a bunch of things and more as like a family. So they wanted to brand those things. I'm not sure this is going to achieve what they want when most people think Facebook is too big and putting the Facebook name on more things makes it look bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what Sarah was saying. If you look at Ford went to do a new logo, I don't know, maybe in the late 60s, early 70s. And the thing that's so pathetic is you look at the options they were looking at that time, and you're just like, oh my goodness, that's so incredibly pathetic and dated. And also, it's like, so we have Facebook, the 300-pound gorilla, a small chicken, and, you know, this sort of svelte, nice house catty kind of thing that also weighs 200 or 300 pounds. And the whole idea of like branding is Facebook is going to dilute people's fear of Facebook and the horrible things they do on such a regular basis with our information is just, I mean, that's incredible wishful thinking for a company that big and that smart.
I think there's a little bit of effect, right? If I love WhatsApp and I'm like, oh, end-to-end right. secure encryption, and I've heard people say this, why can't Facebook be more like that? If they look and see, oh, wait, Facebook makes this, sure. It will have that effect in those cases. I'm with you, Patrick. I don't think that effect outweighs the other effect that it will also have. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just going to make more people, when they are angry at other things, think of Facebook that way. I think of CNET. When CNET started buying other properties like download.com, like GameSpot, they changed the parent company name to CNET Networks because they, like Facebook, wanted to keep the branding in the parent company name. They didn't want to go as extreme right. as Alphabet did with Google. But CNET Networks implied, oh, this is different. It's not just CNET. It's the other networks that are involved with CNET. Facebook just branding themselves as we're Facebook, but also Facebook. I don't know that it achieves that either.
Well, it's also funny because it's such a sophisticated piece of typography compared to like the Facebook logo. It's like, I'm fun. I'm cheerful. You want to have me as your first college roommate. And then you get to Facebook like, oh, we're big fans of the Lincoln Mark V typography. So we just copied that in gray.
Every once in a while, I have to sort of take a step back and be like, the company is called Facebook. I mean, it's sort of silly. It's just become, it's such a part of life, not for everybody, you know, but for that you had, I don't know, we used to make fun of the name Google and nobody even bothers with that anymore.
Sure,
But Facebook is, it's a rather silly company name considering what the company has become.
Well, that's good news for Peacock then. Maybe we'll get into that. Free. I think this is a decent name. Freedom House has issued its Internet Freedom Rankings, which it does regularly, and has found a worldwide decline in freedom on the Internet. Freedom House has been around for a long time. They evaluate things like freedom of the press and of late, freedom of the Internet. Iceland and Estonia, T2T2, you can raise that flag high. Iceland and Estonia remained at the top of the charts. China and Iran are at the bottom of the Internet freedom charts. While censorship is one of the factors it measures, it's found this report that disinformation and propaganda have seen significant increases, and those are also negatives for Internet freedom. Freedom House President Mike Abramowitz said, quote, many governments are finding that on social media, propaganda works better than censorship. So just get a message out there on the social networks to counteract the thing you want to combat, and you do better than trying to suppress the thing you want to combat. Surveillance, which also has a chilling effect on speech when you think people are watching, you're less likely to do certain things, also on the rise. In fact, the United States and China have both expanded monitoring of social media significantly. If you're like, wait a minute, who are these Freedom House guys? They were started in 1941 by Republican presidential candidate Wendell Willkie and the wife and first lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, currently 86% wife of President Roosevelt and first lady Eleanor Roosevelt. And it's currently 86% funded by U.S. government grants. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, considering the world we live in, it doesn't surprise me that suppressing information is, I mean, it's possible sometimes, but as we all know, it's getting harder and harder to do. Being able to spread propaganda to mitigate what might be information that you want, you don't want out there, or that's incorrect, or you're incorrect, and you're trying to, you know, confuse people further. It contributes to a lot of noise, and so it's not necessarily the right direction I think we should be going in, but it does make sense that that's kind of the way it works right now.
And it does seem to be something that you see being used, not just by governments, but by activist organizations as well. So it's a good warning, just something to keep in mind.
All right, let's talk numbers. Fall in numbers, in fact. Micron's revenue dropped 23%. Seagate revenue dropped 25%. Samsung reported a 52% fall in profit. Not good news for investors, but very good news if you're building a PC, because it's going to be cheaper than it was before. PC parts in general have been getting cheaper all year. A 16-gigabyte DDR4 kit that might have cost you upwards of $150 or more in recent memory now sells for around $75. And with Singles Day coming in China, that's November 11th, and Black Friday to follow in the U.S. at the end of this month, deals on already cheap parts are going to be are going to be very attractive if you like to build or modify your desktop. And we just so happen to have Patrick Norton with us today. So, Patrick, what is the good news here?
Oh, my goodness. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, one of my neighbors, and he was like, I want a new PC, but everything's so expensive. And I'm like, what's the last time you checked prices? And he was like, what? We were looking at, we were talking about this before. When you look at the Amazon price history, I love CamelCamelCamel.com, right? It is an incredible tool to figure out whether or not, for example, something you're shopping for Black Friday, is it actually a Black Friday deal? And you want to get the information early, because if you are thinking about buying something at Black Friday, sometimes popular items have an entire new Amazon entry created. So all of the price history for the product, if it's been around for a while, magically disappear, sometimes temporarily, just for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which I find really loathsome. Doesn't happen a lot, but it happens occasionally. But when you look at, for example, memory prices, Corsair Vengeance 16-gigabyte DDR4 RAM, one of the most popular memory products on there, peaked out at like $220, I want to say January 2018, February 2018, and you know, it's back down to the $65-$75 range for 16 gigabytes of RAM. That's as low as it's been since mid-2016, which is awesome. It sucks for memory manufacturers. It is great if you're thinking about building a new PC. Same thing for SSD drives. SSD prices have been dropping off of a cliff. It's, you know, it's easy to get a decent non-NVMe drive, like a standard SSD drive. I think Samsung's 860 Evo, the 500 gigabyte version, if you look at the history, you know, back in early 2018, that was selling for like $150. They're down to like $70 now. 1 terabyte drives, by the way, under $150 from most of the major manufacturers of SSDs. Not NVMe, those are a little more expensive, but it has been amazing to watch the prices drop down. We had something we affectionately referred to as Shrout's Law on This Week in Computer Hardware. Ryan Shrout now, of course, works for Intel doing internal benchmarking, but his thing was like, he's not going to be happy till SSDs are actually down to 10 cents a gigabyte. And we've actually been seeing those prices being hit on like non-sale prices, depending on the part.
Wow.
And when you're looking at it. Yeah. So if you don't have an SSD, it's time.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
And that CamelCamelCamel.com is a great resource, especially like you say, on sale days. If you're like, is this really cheap? Because it looks cheap. That's an excellent resource. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Patrick, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is sort of taken off on the road a little bit these days, which means you're relying entirely, am I right, on mobile internet?
Pretty much entirely, unless we stop in at a hotel or unless we're, say, at an empty RV park like a KOA. We are pretty much, actually, for all intents and purposes, when you look at a lot of places like Campgrounds of America is a popular place to park RVs, most of them actually have, that we've stayed at, actually throttle internet, so you can kind of download web pages and answer email, but you're not going to stream anything off of their internet. And so we kind of moved out, and I was waiting for a decent, to find like a better plan in terms of the amount of data we would get. And my family blew through the, I have an old 50 gigabytes a month guaranteed without throttling plan on AT&T. And they blew through that in like 15 days. And yeah. I was like, uh-oh. And what's interesting is when you talk about mobile data, when you talk about wireless data, nobody really wants to sell data in bulk, period. Several years ago, it got to the point where, you know, I used to have a plan where I would get like 25, 30 gigabytes, and then I could buy additional blocks of data. And then, of course, everything went to unlimited, which I'll make fun of and talk smack about in a moment. And then it went from you could buy additional blocks of data to, oh, nope, we're going to shut you down to 128K. And in my case, you know, I was at CES one year, and the internet we were provided with was trash. And, you know, I was able to, you know, I went through like 25 gigabytes of data and then bought like another 25 gigabytes of data, which was expensive for what it was, but compared to the monthly fee, but was manageable and allowed us to actually, you know, do the uploading we needed to do to meet our production deadlines. These days, their goal is not to sell data. Their goal is to basically, you know, we'll guarantee you this much, and after that, they throttle you. So in case you didn't know, and I'm sure everybody listening to the Daily Tech News shows knows this, unlimited basically means you get X number of gigabytes, then they have their choice of throttling you at that point, or they automatically throttle you. And if they say they throttle you to 128K, but you get all the 128K data you want until the next billing cycle, it turns out a lot of websites won't actually load at 128K, whether or not they have large graphics, active server pages. So just as a surprise. So at that point, I was like, oh, well, now I got to go, you know, now I got to go pull the ripcord and buy a whole bunch of internet. And one of the only companies that is offering a plan with more than like 20, 25 gigabytes of data is Sprint. And they will give you, you have to buy one of their wireless hotspots. I did a MiFi 8000, but you get 100 gigabytes of data for 60 gigs a month. Speed's not spectacular.
For 60 bucks a month.
But, yeah, 100 gigabytes for 60 bucks a month, which is incredibly low for wireless data. And then I found out about, there's a website called rvmobileinternet.com. And I'd known about these guys for a while, and I went back to him when Sasha Sagan, who does all the editing, who's basically runs the mobile group over at PCMag.com. He's like, oh, you need to go. I was like, I know about them. They're awesome. And RVMobileInternet.com, one of the things they do is they track all of the deals on large amounts of wireless data, because they tend to sort of pop up. And if they're successful, somebody in the company panics and they kill the project off. For example, Verizon had a fascinating unlimited prepaid data plan, which is a huge deal because Verizon has the best coverage, especially west of the Mississippi, for the United States. And they have an excellent, incredibly fast network. So they, for a brief, like for several minutes, it was actually several weeks, you could actually get an actual, genuine, unlimited data Verizon plan. I spent like 3 weeks trying to find one to buy, with zero success. So, you know, what I ended up doing was buying, there's a company called Togo, who's from an RV manufacturer called Thor. And they have a branded version of this WineGuard device. It looks like a giant salad bowl or Tupperware bowl. And it's about 8 inches high and about 16 inches wide. It's got a mediocre but acceptable router and a 4G LTE, you know, radio with a couple of antennas, and it's designed to perch on top of your, be bolted to the top of your, in my case, Airstream, your RV, and it comes with, for an extra $360 a year, an unlimited data plan.
Wow. And who uses the carrier for that?
AT&T.
Okay.
And that's the only thing it'll run with. Getting it to run in a way, this is actually, I'm very excited because this is my first actual attempt with this where I've successfully been able to run an actual Skype conversation.
So that is the connection you're using right now.
Right now.
And have been using for the past, you know, the entire show. So that's,
which, yeah, I was kind of waiting for that because I know everybody listening was like, but what is he using now? And anybody who's watching our video, I mean, your video is good. You know, you seem up and running for, you know, considering the limitations that you're dealing with.
It's been interesting. The performance, it's funny because I'm in the middle of what I will affectionately call a conversation and learning process with tech support for the company that built the box, you know, because I started asking lots of questions. And, you know, I had some questions about the performance, which originally was not so good. And I got this boilerplate back, this cut and paste boilerplate back that was like, AT&T reserves the right. I'm like, no, that's not the plan I have. That's not the boilerplate I signed for. Doesn't really matter because AT&T can basically do whatever they want at any time based on their boilerplate, their licensing agreement. But it's been fun because at this point it's gone from being sort of unusable to like, hey, this is actually, I can stream video on this. Yeah. It's also amazing how little bandwidth Skype actually needs. For like 720p streaming, you should be able to do pretty well with a megabyte up. But I would, you know, poke around on the app and see exactly what my bandwidth is right now. But I'm afraid if I do that, I'll probably kill this conversation.
Bring everything down. We'll try it after DTNS is done and see what happens.
Yeah.
I know there's somebody out there going like, what about Google Fi? And the problem with Google Fi is it's $10 per gigabyte after 15 gigabytes. And, you know, so that's,
that adds up.
I mean, you can buy it. But yeah, it's going to add up really fast. Well, I think RVmobileinternet.com is definitely a great resource for a lot of people out there. Oh, give us the name of the mushroom, the salad bowl again.
The Togo C2 Road Link, or the Togo Road Link C2.
Togo Road Link C, like to go. Togo Road
Yes.
Link.
Yes, I guess it's probably what I'm supposed to be saying is to go Road Link C2.
I like Togo. That's much better. Yeah.
It makes me think of Jim Belushi and Terrible Things in Animal House.
Right. It definitely made me think of togas for sure. Yeah. Or the
Togo Road Link
C2. Yeah.
Awesome. To go.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate that. We'll have links to all this stuff in the show notes as well.
Thanks, everybody who participates in our subreddit. You guys, you know, you guys and gals, submit lots of stuff related to the conversation that we just had. Keep it coming. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Also, join in on the conversation on our Discord, where you can link to at patreon.com/DTNS.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Dave in Madison, Wisconsin, wrote in with a couple of really good points. And this was in response to yesterday's show, Monday's show. Dave says, regarding the AirPods Pro and their new noise canceling feature, I had the opportunity to attend some live music over the weekend. Forgot my earplugs. I did have the new AirPod Pros in my pocket, though. Since I was wearing my Apple Watch, I knew that the ambient sound levels were around 110 decibels sustained. However, popping in the AirPods and turning on the noise reduction prevented me getting any tinnitus the next day. So while that probably isn't advertised use of them, it worked out great in my case, and I'm thankful for having had them. Then Dave goes on to say, regarding the data storage on glass story, I work for a very large research university's library as a programmer, and we have very large data sets that don't change once they're established. Something like the glass type of data storage would be perfect for our needs. I'm especially curious how it could be used for things like our digital collections, for example, the DARE fieldwork recordings. Currently, we use a few options, even tape backups, one of which is a service like Amazon Glacier, which is super cheap to store, and keep, but costs a little bit more to restore. Having another medium like the glass storage mentioned would be really valuable to us.
Oh, that's great. very resourceful using the AirPods Pro for a little noise reduction. That's a great tip. Thank you, Dave, and thank you everyone who emails us feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Also, shout out to our patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including DeGrasha, A. Daniels, Tim Deputy, and Kevin S. Morgan. And also thanks to Patrick Norton for being with us today. Patrick, you're on the move. We're so glad to have you and can't wait to have you back wherever you may be next. Let folks know where they can keep up with your life, your goings on.
Twit.tv/Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware. Just search for it on your favorite podcaster, or avxl.com. Robert and I finally got AVXL up and running again and did our first episode in quite a long time.
Woohoo!
Earlier this weekend, and it's up for our patrons and about to go out to everybody who subscribes to the podcast.
We have new Patreon rewards right here. Daily Tech News Show. Get a peek at our show rundown as we develop it. Behind the scenes chats. Join in our Discord, like we said. Sign up right now, and you actually, if you sign up by November 25th, you'll get included on our holiday greeting card. Len Peralta hard at work on a new design. We'll send you a holiday card if you sign up right now. Patreon.com/DTNS.
Would you like to send us an electronic email? Electronic mail, rather. Darn it, man, I messed that up. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 21:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.